One person did say, while saying, of course, nobody was getting angry at him about this, that was just a feminist fantasy, said, now, if I fail to get promoted at work, is that okay for me to cry in the office in front of everybody? So we're in transition. But that's what I noticed. I thought that I was going to be reporting on a sad fact, but instead, what is changing in this society of errors? Changing back, perhaps, to ideas that have been in our society, but were washed out, flooded out by a wave of very macho attitudes of what it means to be a man, and therefore what it means for most fathers to be fathers. Acknowledging that just as not all men are fathers, not all fathers are men. William Blake wrote, and it's here in our hymnal set to music, can I see a falling tear and not feel my sorrow's share? Can a father see his child weep nor be with sorrow filled? Can a mother sit and hear an infant groan, an infant fear? No, never can it be. Never, never can it be. How else could a person of any humanity, whether or not he himself was a father, respond to having accidentally injured a toddler, or indeed to see a toddler in such distress and fear and pain at all? And yet, that model is at war with some of the models that we have had for masculinity and therefore for fatherhood down the years. So many ways we ask people to be men in our society make it difficult for them to respond in the most simple, humane way to the suffering of children or the needs of children, which, after all, are the job of a parent. William Blake in that poem goes on to talk about the image of the divine father. He says all of this because we know that parents care about every suffering of their children. Of course, our divine parent cares about us as well. But we know that that is not the only image of the divine father that comes through. Sometimes it's punishing, sometimes it's judging. Sometimes the masculinity of God is used to berate men and others into having a much harsher attitude towards human suffering. Perhaps here the change is seen in the hymn we just sang. The original refrain of For the Beauty of the Earth is, Lord of all, to thee we raise this our hymn of grateful praise. And when God is seen as a father and Lord of all, then human fathers are seen as having their proper role being dominion over the family and the society at large. Now we sing source of all. And is that not what a father is? The source of his children's life, perhaps, and of their teaching, comfort, care, and nurture. Perhaps our ideas of God as they shift are shifting our ideas of masculinity. So I think these, what have been rightly and accurately called toxic ideas of masculinity that are abroad in our culture, are part of the reason that we haven't celebrated Father's Day so well, certainly as Unitarian Universalists. There's some problems with timing there, happens in the wider community as well. Father's Day is always the third Sunday in June. School might be out a little too late to do cards for your dad the way you did for your mom if you have one the month before. And then in our churches, especially in colder climates, this is often the quote-unquote last Sunday of the year when we switch to a summer schedule if we do, and often the flower communion. So things don't blossom quite as early as they do here in many places, so you better have your flower communion in mid-June if you want any flowers. And so Father's Day gets crowded out. And then when we do talk about fatherhood, it seems to be with a sense of apology, as if we can't laud fathers and just celebrate the male people who raise children, who raised most of us and are raising children in our congregations and communities, without endorsing an idea of masculinity that we would like to leave behind. And so we just kind of skip over it, and that doesn't do anybody any good. Just as I came in today, Brian Weller greeted me. We chatted. I wished him Happy Father's Day. I hope I did. Did I wish you Happy Father's Day, Brian? Where are you sitting? Hi. Happy Father's Day. He shared this comic with me, Charles Schulz comic of Peanuts. The first little mini, Charlie Brown is holding up a sign that says, Happy Blank Day. Lucy is working on a card. Charlie Brown says, what are you doing? She says, I'm making sort of a Father's Day card. He says, that's great. I'm proud of you. Father's Day doesn't get the recognition it deserves. I find that it is all too frequently ignored, he goes on in the next frame, and then a third frame. I cannot commend you too highly. I'm very impressed. Lucy says, thank you. And then she writes, dear mom, have a happy Father's Day. Now, it's true that for generations, women have known what perhaps we are learning much later is true for people of all genders, that the roles of parenthood have no gender. That's because women are more likely to be single parents. And so we have generations of people saying, my mother had to be both mom and dad to me. Which, what does that even mean? It means my mother had to do all the things that a parent does. Right? There was nobody else, or she was the person around most of the time. Well, and then in the second wave, when the second wave of feminism peaked in the 70s, feminism really did a lot to help degenderize women's roles in so many ways. Women can adopt roles, adopt ways of being that were formerly in our society considered the purview of men. For example, women can wear pants without comment, yes, formerly male clothes. Can men wear women's clothes without comment? Not so much. Look at the range of colors and patterns available to women, again, without getting any kind of flack. Not so much for men. And in work, although men have always occupied and excelled at, sometimes dominated, fields that are supposedly women's work, such as fashion and cooking and the care of sick people, women also find that they are accepted, if not always treated equally, in more fields than ever before, whereas men often find that they are told, oh, that's women's work. Why would you do that kind of thing? There's been a lag in degenderizing masculinity, the roles of men in this society, and it's seen as sharply in fatherhood as anywhere. So I'm reminded of another comic strip. I don't have it with me. An old one by a boomer parent himself, Gary Trudeau, an old Doonesbury, that speaks a little about the challenges to people of all genders of the changes that are underway. Joni, one of the characters, Joni, is bathing their child, their young child. And her husband, Rick, pokes his head into the bathroom and says, can I help? She delivers a lecture. Helping implies that I am the primary parent. You are the secondary parent. That this is my job and you're just popping in to lend a hand. No, you cannot help. He goes out, he comes back in and tries again. Can I co-parent? And she says, no, you always slosh too much water all over the floor. So, women, having been deemed by our society expert at all things parenting, have had to let go of the idea that they are, in fact, the resident experts, which probably has come as a relief to many. After all, what woman responsible for a miserable, crying infant has not wondered, how can I have been sent home with this child and no instruction manual? I have no idea what to do. There is nothing gendered about the confusion and worry and sheer figuring it out as we go along that come with parenting. Just as there is nothing gendered about the heartbreak of having injured a child, one's own or someone else's. And there's nothing gendered about the joy, pride, and delight of parenthood. Nevertheless, we have had loud voices telling us that there is something very gendered about the roles of parenthood, perhaps especially about the role of the male parent, if there is one. And it's created an interesting bind. So a few examples of the things that have been affirmed as very important fatherly roles through the years in our culture. Sigmund Freud, no less, said that there is nothing more important to a child than the protection given by a father. Father's job is to protect. Then, of course, we have a very dominant idea, it seems like there was nothing else in 1950s television, of the father's job as being to provide, to make sure that the family is not only safe, but financially secure, sheltered, and fed. And so dad's job is to work. And little else, it seems, so that literal advice to children was, don't bother dad with your problems when he gets home. Don't talk about these sorts of things at the dinner table or run up to him with the business of your day when he gets home. He's resting from his job. In other words, his own only job in the family is to go earn money. Well, that might seem very old-fashioned, but I came across a psychological and spiritual teacher of our time, our decade, who advises that one of the things that boys in particular need to learn from the men in their lives, from their father specifically, is swagger, how to swagger. Never occurred to me to teach my daughter to swagger, but there you go, no men in the family and there's your problem. I can try. Now, there are gender differences as we're socialized differently. They're generalizations, of course, but it's been noted in various researches on the topic that fathers are more likely than female parents to encourage adventure and independence on the part of their children from a very young age, letting them wander a little farther even as early walkers. They're more likely to toss children in the air and play rough in ways that most children adore. They nudge them more towards independence. And that, it has been decided, is the role of fathers while the mothers nurture and hold close. But of course, that's nonsense. None of that nudging towards independence, playing rough, giggling and roughhousing, or earning money, or protecting children, or teaching swagger, is the purview of male people. And nor is that all that a father is to his kids. Now, the loudest voices that proclaim these necessities, that it is important to have fathers, that every child needs a father, those voices are also the ones that are most rigid about these roles, what a father is, and what the two, and it is only two in these voices' point of view, what the two genders' roles are in the lives of children. And this puts people in a terrible bind, especially, I imagine, dads. That the people who are saying, yes, dads are necessary, dads are important, be present in your kid's life, are the ones who are giving very strict rules about what that means, and shutting out entire areas of humanity and responsibility, such as bursting into tears at the sight of a suffering child. Maybe that's what's behind our reticence to talk about Father's Day on Father's Day here in our congregations. We just haven't figured out how to say, bless you in what you do, without buying into some of the myths of our wider community about the rigidity of that role and the impoverishment of anybody who doesn't have a father in the home. And yet, we need to support. We need to support fathers, and particularly, and all families, but particularly dads in this time when things are changing, because being caught in changing roles of masculinity is difficult. I had the opportunity to ask my own dad about that just this morning when he called me. He called me, long story. So we chatted a little and exchanged good wishes, and then and I said, well, you know, I'm going to go to church soon, and I told him what I was preaching on, and so I asked what changes he'd observed, given that we knew, we'd talked about them before, the changes that he'd observed in how we define masculinity and how we define fatherhood in particular, how did that affect him as a dad over his decades of fatherhood? And, excuse me, it was interesting, he did have some things to note about that, but he immediately went to and talked almost exclusively about the relationship between a man and a woman and a marriage. That's what he thought it was all about. And I think there's something really powerfully true there. It's not just the fact that my dad is heterosexual and he was raising his children in a heterosexual marriage, but with, you know, side by side with my mom. And that was his parents' model as well, but that he saw that the changes that have been urged upon him as a father are directly related to how he relates and how the wider society relates to women. He said, you know, and when my parents got married in the late 20s, men were ashamed. He's talking about, you know, his particular time and place, but that his particular subculture and class. But it was definitely true. He said men were ashamed if their wives worked. And that made for very rigid roles between a mother and a father. And he saw this play out in his relationships with each of his parents, although he said his father was an ideal father to him, despite his, to my father's eyes, rather limited ideas of masculinity. A wonderful father, as his mother was a wonderful mother. He said, you know, and then when I proposed to your mother and we got married, this was in the early 60s, he says, I admit the women mostly accepted a submissive role. But he said, it was somewhat different in my case because mom always worked and she was very assertive about what she wanted. And he thought that that really had an effect, and I do too, on what it meant for us, his children, to have him as a father. To have a model, for example, of a father who was home more, given his work schedule, than his wife, and who saw that as the reason that he should do more around the house than most men I knew, and often than my mother, just because that's the way their roles worked out, given their jobs. But then fast forwarding here to the, what do we call this past decade, the aughts? I heard from I've chatted with a dad in this congregation before who talks about doing a lot of solo parenting of his young children. And the kinds of comments that he gets. This is here in the Bay Area, post 2000, around 2010 and beyond. Oh, it must be mom's day off, he hears. Oh, are you babysitting? No, I'm not babysitting. No, I'm not helping, Rick says to Joni, right? Right, I'm not helping, I'm their father. And when the child starts crying, oh, she needs her mother. I am trying to think if it has ever happened in the history of motherhood that a woman has been taking care of her tiny crying son and a stranger has said, oh, he needs his father. So when I asked colleagues on my parenting list, I said, dads, help me out here. I'm not a dad, although I have one. tell me, is there anything that you would like to have said about fatherhood and the roles that go with that, given what we mean by roles of masculinity? One friend who was stubbornly silent for a while when I pushed him, he said, and his weariness came through in every word off the page. He wrote, "I am so tired of the relentless gendering of parenthood." He said, "My husband and I, we take care of our kid, we do all the things that need doing, we do what parents do." And when I asked, did he get this kind of reaction that the man in our church gets, he said, "Oh yeah, yeah, sure." So the gendering of parenting is a real thing. And yet there they are, everybody just doing what it takes to take care of kids. I think our children are greatly aided by this shift in roles, not just because their parents have a chance of being happier and expressing their full selves, but because one, two, even five parents just aren't enough in this difficult work of growing up. Not only because the parents are exhausted, sleepless, and don't know what to do, but because there is no one model for how to grow up into a complete human being of any gender. I talked to Buzz Fron about this. A few dads responded, and Buzz said I could use his name. And so another generation, we've heard from the boomers like Gary Trudeau. My dad, born 1938, is older than that, and here's Buzz, a Gen Xer, born in 1967. He said, I don't think there's necessarily a model or a path that's been blazed between the old model that we grew up with and the new model and expectations that we live in, that we're living in. The way he saw the old model was, your parents know everything. He didn't say that was only father who knew best. He said, that hasn't changed for kids who naturally think that until they're teenagers. But we're all just figuring this out one day at a time. So he doesn't think that, you know, it was really any simpler in the early days. And he thinks in another way, parenthood is the same as it's always been. There are things that our parents did that we want to emulate and things that we don't want to do that we saw in our own upbringing. But he does see that they're trying to forge a new way in certain regards. So Buzz said, something that I want to do as a father is promote lots of ideas of being male in our society. I think kids need lots of different role models. If you don't know, Buzz and Anne have two kids, the first a boy and the second a girl. So on Buzz and Anne's urging, at coming of age time, Harrison, their elder child, asked all the men who are close to him to write him a letter of advice. And their wisdom on that was the idea that, you know, Buzz, your fit as a father might not be their fit. You get the parents you get, but maybe you need other role models for what it means in this child's case, kid's case, to be a man. And as Buzz said, it's similar to his views on religion. This is why we take kids to different houses of worship in middle school. We can see lots of different ways that this is done. Kids need lots of different role models. And then Celia did the same when she was in coming of age this year. It's not just reaching out to role models of the gender that one identifies as either, although that's very important, but role models of all genders for everybody. He said he benefited from having a lot of role models step up for him and fill the gaps. His parents were divorced by the time he was in high school, so that was really important to him, and even though they didn't have that problem besetting them, Buzz and Anne wanted to provide similar for their kids. I think that this is the great gift that feminism and all the reevaluation of what gender roles means in our society is bringing to each generation a little more than the one before, each one figuring out something that they didn't have a model for exactly. That we all need all kinds of people behaving all kinds of ways to show us how to be human. What was so terrifying about the story that turned out not to be quite true, to my relief, Albert Elmore's story, was the idea that anybody would be told that one whole area of humanity, such an important attribute of humanity, of suffering and crying when one sees somebody else, especially a child, suffering, was the idea that of the violence we do to ourselves when we amputate a whole part of our lives. And if there is any place, any job, any task and role in this life where we need our whole selves, it is parenthood. So this idea of owning our whole selves, having everything about ourselves affirmed. Father, you are not just the protector. You are not just teaching swagger and providing. You're the nurturer, the carer for scraped knees. Mothers, people of all genders, all the roles of parenthood are your roles. None of these rules need apply to you because we need the whole of who you are. Too long, men have been asked to apologize for a big chunk of who they are. Apologize, make excuses, or hide it. Laugh at the person who says, oh, it's Mom's Day Out, instead of saying, Mom's Day Off. No, this is just me being a parent to my kid. So, unapologetically, I hope we can celebrate everyone who cares for children, whatever their gender and whatever roles they adopt, the more they can bring everything that they are to those children, the more our children will grow into the wholeness of the human beings we hope to see. Happy Father's Day.